I just want to say a big thank you to all the organisers. From the perspective of somebody that's lost a child, you have a passion and you want to see change happen, but you haven't always got the tools that you need to make it happen. You haven't got the resources or the connections or whatever. So the fact that these people have got together today, for me, is so important and so vital. So I just want to say thank you from myself and my family for doing this. I've written a few words. Usually when I come up, I just sort of speak from the heart. And this is from the heart, but I didn't want to forget anything, so I've written it down. So if you just bear with me. When I think back to 2004, I can say that life was normal. We did the things that normal families do. We went to work, school, we had a home life. But then on the 9th of October, bang, 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 6 shots were fired and our lives were changed forever. One of those shots hit my daughter Danielle, causing her massive internal bleeding. Her 14-year-old body couldn't cope with the damage. And still today, we, her family and friends, are left trying to cope with that damage. And what I want to say today is that when anyone picks up a gun or a knife or any kind of weapon that they plan to use to hurt other people, they're not just affecting the person they attack, they're actually affecting their whole family and the wider community. There's a ripple effect. It's like dropping a pebble in a lake and watching the ripple go out and out, and it spreads out into the community. And that is how violent crime affects people. And I've seen that ripple effect right across Nottingham. I've seen how people have been affected. It starts off with that initial splash and it spreads from the victim to the family, to the friends, to the people in the wider community. And the shock and the sadness that everyone feels at that time is real. The grief that the public feel is real. But then after a while, everybody goes back to normal. You must ask the question and you must think to yourselves, it could be my child next. And I was one of those parents. I thought, I've seen the news, I've watched the families cry, I've watched them appeal to the public for information. I've watched them pray and hope for justice for their lost loved one. And I've sat there and I've thought, oh, that poor family, I don't know how I'd cope if that was me, if I was in their shoes. But then one day I found that I was that mother that was left crying for a child. But after a while, you know, you see the news and your life goes back to normal. It has to. Life goes on. But now I'm faced with a situation of seeing my daughter not grow up to be the woman, the amazing woman that I knew she could be. She was so talented and able to achieve, and she's lost that opportunity to flourish into the young woman that she could have been. And not because she was terminally ill, not because she got into an accident, not even because she did something crazy or life-threatening. Danielle and many, many others have you seen from the mothers and families on the stage. She died because somebody didn't think and somebody didn't care. Well, my view is that someone needs to care about how the guns are getting onto our streets, and we need to think of ways to stop them. With such tight customs and security controls, the question has already been asked, how are the guns getting onto our streets? But we don't seem to be getting an answer. We can march and we can protest as the small man and join together in unity where, you know, fantastic. But there are bigger men at the top that need to address these issues. It's not about us here today just marching. There's bigger men at the top who've got the answers. The evil needs cutting out, it needs rooting out, and it needs starting somewhere. Someone needs to care about why our young people are in a position where they feel they have to be carrying weapons. And the young people themselves need to think more seriously about the effect that they may have by carrying the weapons. Not all of our kids have got access to guns, but think about it. They can all just grab a knife from the kitchen. It's as easy as that. So we need to address why it is that they're picking up these weapons. We can commission reports from now until eternity that tells us that we have a problem. We already know that. These reports come out, but they don't identify solutions. And we can paper over the cracks and, you know, say that this is a fantastic city, and it is a fantastic city, but the fact remains that there is a problem here and in other cities across the country. And we need to address those problems because the ripple effect is going to spread. It's enough. To the people that are involved in the rivalry, and I'm talking to the older heads and the newcomers, and you know who you are, please, 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 just listen. Enough of the hate. Enough of the territorialism. Enough of the war. I know in life that we all meet people we don't like, and that's natural. But what saddens and frustrates me is that our young people are actually hating each other because of a postcode. How can you hate someone without even knowing them? I know change won't happen overnight. There are hurts and old wounds that need to be healed. But I have to ask, how many more children must die? They say he who feels it knows it. And I know my pain runs deeper than you can imagine. But if you haven't lost a loved one to violent crime, then pay attention. No matter how hard you may be, everybody loves somebody. Think of that person you love more than anything, snatched away in a split second. Snatched away by hatred. If you take the time to think about hatred and anger, it doesn't make any sense. Paying back hatred with hatred leaves someone else feeling the way you're feeling. If you imagine sending a loved one out through the door in the morning and say, see you later, and they don't come back home, how would you feel? Many of you may even know how that feels. Your initial reaction is anger and hate, but you can't carry that on. It eats you up inside. Did my daughter's killers even think about the devastation that they left behind as they drove away from shooting her? Did they think about a mum, a dad, a stepmom, a stepdad, brothers and sisters, grandmas, granddads, great-grandmas, great-granddads, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, close friends that were like brothers and sisters to her? Classmates, teachers, neighbours, youth workers at the youth club, even the shopkeepers that saw her every day. Every one of those people were left devastated by her death. But we don't want an eye for an eye. It has to stop somewhere. We want peace. The same energy that we put into hate can be put into forgiveness and peace if we all try. Forgiveness isn't a natural reaction or a feeling. Sometimes it's a conscious decision and an effort not to repay hate with hate. And this is not just words from a grieving mum. Something has got to change. Please don't let this be just another event that hypes everyone up for one day and then everyone goes back to their lives. Something's got to change. We are not a bunch of do-gooders trying to have our cause noticed. Something has got to change. It's not acceptable to say, not my problem, I don't live in Radford, I don't live in Meadows, I don't live in St Anne's. It's all of our problem. Because if not stopped, the ripple will get wider and wider. Something has got to change. Don't just take my word for it. All the people that marched today agree. Young people, if you're listening, I plead with you today. If you're deep in this hate for hate situation, what's stopping you from getting out? Isn't your life worth more than this? Don't you think you should have the freedom to go anywhere in this city without fear? Why should you have to walk in a crowd for protection? Why should you avoid certain parts of town? If you spend time with people from other areas you're battling with, you'll realise that they are just like you. They probably wear the same style, listen to the same music, share the same sense of humour, have a similar family background, and live a life very similar to your own. The only difference is the NG what? But because this man from NG2 shot or stabbed that man from NG3, or in from NG7's got beef with him from NG8, you carry their burden. You defend something that's not even yours. Something's got to change. You defend territory that it's not even yours. It's the government's. You don't own the land. What are you defending? Let's start today. When you look at that someone, do you really see them as they are, or are you so busy looking for which NG tag they're wearing you can't see who they really are? Think about it. Isn't it time for a change? Thank you.